Our second reading this morning comes from the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, chapter 18. And we're going to be moving around a little bit because this is a big story, but we're going to get the lectionary has us getting a small picture of it this morning. Then we'll get into it a little more in just a moment. So we'll start with verses 5 through 9. And I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. The king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders concerning Absalom. So the army went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. The men of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the slaughter there was great on that day, 20,000 men. The battle spread over the face of all the country, and the forest claimed more victims that day than the sword. Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak. His head caught fast in the oak, and he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him went on. And in verse 15, "And 10 young men, Joab's armor bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him." Verse 19, "Then Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, said, 'Let me run and carry tidings to the king that the Lord has delivered him from the power of his enemies.' Joab said to him, 'You are not to carry tidings today. You may carry tidings another day, but today you shall not do so because the king's son is dead.' Then Joab said to a Cushite, 'Go tell the king what you have seen.' The Cushite bowed before Joab and ran. Then Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, said again to Joab, 'Come what may, let me also run after the Cushite.' And Joab said, 'Why will you run, my son, seeing that you have no reward for these tidings?' 'Come what may,' he said, 'I will run.' So he said to him, 'Run.' Then Ahimaaz ran by way of the plain and outran the Cushite." Now, David was sitting between the two gates. The sentinel went up the roof of the gate by the wall. And when he looked up, he saw a man running alone. The sentinel shouted and told the king. The king said, "If he is alone, there are tidings in his mouth." He kept coming and drew near. Then the sentinel saw another man running. And the sentinel called to the gatekeeper and said, "See, another man running alone." The king said, "He also is bringing tidings." The sentinel said, "I think the running of the first one is like the running of Ahimaaz, son of Zadok." The king said, "He's a good man and comes with good tidings." Then Ahimaaz cried out to the king, "All is well." He prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground and said, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delivered up the men who raised their hand against my lord the king." The king said, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I do not know what it was." The king said, "Turn aside and stand here." So he turned aside and stood still. Then the Cushite came. And the Cushite said, "Good tidings for my lord the king. For the Lord has vindicated you on this day, delivering you from the power of all who rose up against you." The king said to the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" The Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to do you harm be like that young man." The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So years ago, Jen and I were sitting in a Dairy Queen having dinner when a woman named Donna walked in. Donna was about 80 years old, had a great dry sense of humor, really sharp wit. She was a member of the church that I was pastoring, and we saw her come in and waved her over, invited her to come and sit with us. She walks over and says, "Well, Pastor, I've got bad news." And she was not the kind of person who ever had bad news, so I was a little bit concerned. She says, "I'm getting married." And I was shocked, because to my knowledge, she was not involved with anyone. Like she had been married for 50 years, her husband died, she was done with that. That was not even remotely on her radar. I'm sitting there like stammering for words, just like, Donna, who, what, how? And she says, no, I'm just kidding, I've got cancer. At that point, I'm totally speechless. Like, what do you say to that? Was I supposed to laugh at that? Was that supposed to make me feel better somehow? And so we talked about it. She had just been diagnosed, and eventually she said, you really thought I was getting married? I'd rather have cancer. That was her way of sharing bad news, right? To joke about it. Now, I want you to compare that to a few months ago. I was driving to meet someone for lunch when my uncle called my cell phone. I saw his name pop up. It had been a few months since I talked to him, so I picked it up. Hey, Uncle Steve, how you doing? And I could tell right away by his voice that something was wrong. He said, well, Patrick, I've got to tell you something. Are you in a place where you can sit down? I said, well, actually, I'm driving, so I'm kind of already sitting down. He said, well, I'm going to need you to pull over. I was in the middle of 202, so I was not about to pull over anywhere. And I told him, I said, look, it's going to be a few minutes before I'm able to do that. I'm on a busy road, a lot of traffic around me right now. So it's going to be a little bit. And he says, okay, I'll wait. And then he sat there quietly for a moment. And I'm thinking, we're not really going to do this, are we? Like, it's literally going to be about 5 minutes until I can pull it. We're not just going to sit here in silence on the phone. And he says, okay, then just call me back when you get a chance. And I'm like, you can't do that. You can't call me up all somber and tell me you have something to tell me and say, well, just call me back when you get a chance. Just go ahead and tell me, because I have a feeling I know what it is anyway. And I was right. He had called to tell me that my father had died. And that was his way of sharing bad news, kind of preparing me for it, getting me ready, trying to, almost dancing around it, not getting right to it. We all have times in our lives when we need to have hard conversations and talk about things we'd rather not talk about. Whether it is medical news or family news, giving our children the talk, critiquing or firing someone at work, talking about problems in a relationship, or talking to someone we love about an addiction or other problematic behavior. This is something that all of us have to face at some time or another, in some way or another. And we each have our own way of dealing with it. Right? Some people joke about it. Some people dance around it. Some people are just very direct and straightforward and brutally honest. And some people just ignore it altogether. Right? A lot of times we don't want to have those hard conversations because we don't want to upset this other person. We don't want to hurt them or worry them or make them angry at us. And so we're willing to just kind of let the problem go. Just ignore it in order to avoid something uncomfortable. This is one of the things that we see playing out in our reading from 2 Samuel. And this is a story that a lot of us aren't familiar with. It's one that we don't hear very often. So it's easy to get lost in the details here. So I want to walk you through it real quick. King David had a son named Absalom. Absalom raised up an army against his father to try to take control of the kingdom of Israel. Despite all of that, David still loves his son. So as David's army is preparing to go out and face Absalom's army in battle and settle this whole thing, David tells the commanders of his army to deal gently with Absalom. Take it easy. He doesn't want his son killed. Go out there, stop the rebellion, but take him alive. So they go out into battle. David's army wins. Absalom's riding off on his mule, trying to make his getaway. The mule goes under a tree. Absalom's neck gets caught in a branch. The mule keeps going out from underneath him, leaving Absalom hanging there. It's like something you see in a cartoon, right? So David's soldiers, they come up and they see this. They see Absalom hanging there, and they know we could end this whole thing right now. No more rebellion. Our guy is the king. Safety and security in the kingdom. And so they kill Absalom. They take his body, and then they throw it into a pit and cover him up with stones. Not exactly what David told them to do. So now, they have to go back and tell David what has happened. This one man, Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, he says to the commander, "Let me go back and tell the king that he has won the battle." Right? This is his king. He knows this man. He wants to be the one to share this good news. But the commander says, "No, I'm going to send this Cushite back, this Ethiopian slave. He's going to go back and tell the king what has happened. He's not as close to the king. This isn't his king, so he's going to be the one to bring this news." So the Cushite starts running back to tell the news to King David. Well, Ahimaaz, he's just too excited. Like, he wants to be the one to make the king happy with this good news of his victory. So he says, "Let me go too. I'll run after him." So he pushes on him, and finally the commander relents and says, "Fine, you go too." So Ahimaaz and the Cushite are running. Ahimaaz takes shortcut, outruns the Cushite, gets there first. He runs up to the king crying, "All is well! All is well!" He tells King David that his army has won the battle. Good news! And David says, "What about Absalom? What happened to my son?" Ahimaaz knows that this news is going to upset the king. And he only wants to be the bearer of good news. So he says, "I don't know. You know, when the commander sent me, there was something going on. There was some kind of big commotion, but I couldn't see what it was. I don't know what happened." Then the Cushite arrives. And he says to David, "Good news, you won." David says, "What about Absalom?" Cushite says, "May all your enemies end up like him." A nice way of saying, he's dead. And it does upset the king. He starts crying and wailing so much so that eventually one of his commanders has to take him aside and say, "Hey, you gotta stop this." But what we see here are two very different approaches to a hard conversation. Ahimaaz doesn't want to upset the king, so he dances around it and ends up not telling him the truth. The Cushite tells David the whole truth, even though it upsets him. Now, if we're going to read it this way, which one do you think we should strive to emulate? Who's the hero of that part of the story? Ahimaaz or the Cushite? Cushite, right? That we should have the hard conversations and tell people the whole truth, even when we know it is going to be difficult and painful and upsetting. There's a level on which we know that. Like, this is nothing new. And yet there are so many times that I have been with people who are going through something difficult. They're hospitalized, or they're going in for tests, or they get a cancer diagnosis, or they lose a job, and they say, "We're not going to tell the kids yet. We don't want to worry them or upset them, and we don't really know too much yet, so there's really nothing they can do." And every time my advice is, tell them. How would you feel if they were in a similar situation and held something back from you? Yes, it might worry them and upset them, but I promise you, they would rather know. And there is something they can do. They can pray. They can love you and support you and be here with you through this. And that is what it means to live life together. To be open and honest with each other, even when it's hard. To bear one another's burdens. And to allow someone else to bear ours. To trust that even though this is hard, God is going to give this person what they need to handle. Now, that doesn't mean that we just get to say whatever we want to whoever we want, however we want, right? There's a time and a place for brutal honesty that is necessary sometimes, but it's not every time and any place. So how are we, as followers of Jesus Christ, called to have hard conversations? We all know that we need to have them from time to time. How do we approach them? And this is what moves us into Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul says, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors. But just before this, he says we must no longer be children, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together, promoting the body's growth, building itself up in love. So we must no longer be children. How do children speak if they need to have a hard conversation? They just tell you, right? They just say it. I remember this one time we were on a train, and one of our kids, very young at the time, we were heading into the city, about 2 or 3 years old, looks over at this woman sitting across from us and says, "Is that a man?" With the woman looking right at us. He saw something that he had a question about, and so he just said it. Children have that brutal honesty. But Paul says, we must no longer be children, but speak the truth in love. Have hard conversations. Say what needs to be said, but say it in a way that is patient, kind, not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, not irritable or resentful. Say it in a way that does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It doesn't celebrate the mistake this person has made or throw it back in their face. But say it in a way that rejoices in the truth, that bears with this other person, believes in them, hopes for them, endures with them. All of that, that's what Paul says love is, right? 1 Corinthians 13. Say it in a way that actively seeks and promotes the well-being of the other. What he says in Ephesians is, say it in a way that promotes the body's growth, building itself up in love. Can you say this in a way that builds someone else up? Speak the truth to our neighbors, but speak the truth in love, in a way that seeks to build others up, because he says, we are members of one another. We are connected. We are bound to one another. We belong to each other. No one is just on their own here. We are all bound in Christ. As one body, what you say and do to this other person, you say and do to yourself. Has implications for you. Paul says, let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up so that your words may give grace to those who hear. When we need to have those hard conversations, have them in a way that gives grace to this other person, that helps them experience love and kindness and mercy and forgiveness. That helps them grow. That helps us all grow closer together into the people and the body that Christ created and calls us to be. And this is a really simple idea, but it is something that we need to be reminded about from time to time because we lose sight of it. Don't be afraid to speak. But speak with love. Have those hard conversations, but have them in a way that reflects the love of God as we have experienced it in Jesus Christ. That takes thought. It takes reflection and preparation. This is not just something that you do on the spur of the moment and throw yourself right into this conversation without thinking through it. It takes asking, how can I talk to this person about this thing in a way that is loving and kind? Speak the truth, but speak it in love, in a way that actively seeks the good of this other person and reflects the grace of God. Because then we can trust that God will be in the midst of our conversation, giving us all everything we need to get through it. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the ways that you speak truth to us through prophets, through Christ, through your word written in Scripture, through your Holy Spirit that convicts us, calls us to newness. We thank you that when you do speak this truth to us, it is always spoken out of your great love for us. You desire our good and our growth. Help us to be so loving and kind with each other. Give us courage, we pray, to share the news that needs to be shared, to have the difficult conversations that need to be talked about, but to do all of it in a way grounded in your love. Give us patience. Help us to see from the perspective of the other. Build us all up, Lord, into the body that you have created and called us to be. May it all be built up out of love. That is what holds us together in you. Your love for us, and our love for each other. Keep us mindful of your love in all that we do, so that all that we do might come forth from your love, sharing your grace and peace with others as you have shared it with us in Christ Jesus. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.